Welcome to the FinTech Scaling Show. This podcast is sponsored by the Growth Platform Framework. B2B FinTech startups accelerate customer acquisition and set up business operations to scale systematically. When you're ready to grow, reach out to us at richard@ipractitioners.com. Now, over to the show with Richard Dosey, founder and host. Hey, what's up, everyone? Today on the show, we have Roey, CTO and co-founder at Beyond Minds. Roey has been researching AI for a number of years prior to launching and setting up Beyond Minds. And he's an expert and a thought leader in the space of how to adopt AI across businesses. So really excited to have him on the show. Hey, Roey, welcome to the show and really excited again to have you here.
Hi, Richard. Good morning. Thank you for having me. And hello, everybody that's here to listen.
Let's kick off the show and maybe for our listeners, let's sort of paint a picture of your background. So let's go back in the time machine and let's talk about your early career. Maybe you can just, you know, give us a glimpse and tell us how your career has helped you sort of succeed at setting up and creating Beyond Minds.
Well, let's start, you know, like 10 years ago, something like that. I studied biomedical engineering. And during my master's, I got in love with image processing, specifically medical image processing. I did work about segmentation with MRI images of the brain. And during this time, I figured out that the real innovation back five years ago, the real innovation in computer vision came from, let's say, the general computer vision research rather than like in specific fields like medical research. So following that, I decided to do my PhD in computer vision. And for around 4 years, I was searching different aspects of computer vision, specifically in the deep learning arena that boomed in 2012. And of course, evolved significantly to the phase that we are aware of now and these days. So basically, in the last 10 years, I have been doing AI research, computer vision research, publishing papers. I also did some consultancy, which was very interesting during my early growing up as a researcher. And specifically, I think that what I'm doing today is a lot of intersection between business and AI. And during this time, I think it's helped me a lot to understand what business needs and how I can help them with. So my main focus in the background is about research. And that's what helped me today with my current career, the deep understanding of AI, of the technology, of deep learning, of data, etc.
Yeah, and I was wondering, you're a researcher, you're doing a lot of studies around AI. How did you make that transition from, you know, that world to then launching, which is a pretty successful AI company?
Well, the question of the how to become an entrepreneur, that's a very interesting one. I don't have a good answer, actually. I think, you know, entrepreneur is a character. Let's say I have two passions. Well, I have many passions, but I have two significant passions within my career. First one is about research, it's about being creative, it's about creating new things. And the second one is about working with people shoulder to shoulder as a team, building new stuff. And I think building a new company, building a start, being an entrepreneur is a lot about these two passions. And it was super natural. Rotem, my co-founder, contacted me when I was about to finish my PhD. He told me about the gap that he recognized. And from there, we just jumped into the water. And what I've learned in the last 2.5 years is that it's perfect match with what I like to do. Solving problems, growing, discover new areas, new aspects of how to build company, how to grow a company, how to work with people, how to create teams, and how to research, how to be a visionary and make this vision a reality. So it's a lot about doing research, by the way. Many of these problems are new problems. Nobody have solved them in the past. You can go read literature, same as in research, based on the on other great people that wrote books and wrote papers. But at the end of the day, it's your problem and your specific research that you need to solve. So like in theory, same with practice, like in AI research and problems, same with building a company. It's about risk mitigation, about getting a better decisions and do hypothesis analysis and growing a great company is an amazing opportunity and adventure.
Listen, I mean, it sounds like you got some great passion. Looking at Beyond Minds, I mean, can you tell me more about you guys? And maybe we can drill into the specific problem that you guys are looking at solving.
So I think that the main problem that we're solving, systematic failure around bringing AI to production. So if you're a large company and you are trying to push AI and adopt AI into the company, accelerate that competitive edge, and basically innovate with this amazing technology that is clearly the most critical and amazing technology today that can contribute to teams. Now, okay, so you have this technology and want to adopt it, but there is a systematic failure that was reported in the literature, reported in McKinsey and Gartner and VentureBeat and you name it. 1 out of 10 projects reach production. 1 out of 9 projects reach profitability. And there is really challenges in terms of technology, in terms of business, in terms of strategy. But a lot of them today are relevant to technology and ecosystem and practices, best practices in how to develop AI into production. That's the gap that Beyond Minds is solving. The POC to production. How to bring AI in production and fast. And it's a big problem. Every project is unique. Every project is specific. It's completely different from one solution to another. How you do that systematically and efficiently.
You mentioned the technology problem and also the ecosystem. Can you elaborate more about what you mean about those two areas?
So our technology and the way that basically we solve this problem at Beyond Minds is a combination of several factors. And the core of it is what we call the Beyond Minds platform. It's our core product, our core technology stack that enable us to solve this problem, how to deliver to companies solutions to core problems with AI within short time. Now, it has, let's say, 3 main aspects. The first one is hyper-customized solution. So the main observation that Rotem and I made on the world and about AI problems is they're inherently specific. And even if you look at a problem that sounds very repetitive, I don't know, claim automation, for example, in insurance company, it sounds very repetitive. Every company that is handling claims, it should look the same. But the reality tell a different story. The data is very specific. The needs and the constraint are highly specific. And basically the requirement of what these companies, how they use these technologies is completely different. The KPIs, the business process, etc. So this requires solutions that are hyper-customized to companies, right? It's not a cookie cutter. It won't be an off-the-shelf, one problem, one solution, solve it all mindset. So with this observation of specificity of problems and the large variability, we came with the hyper-customized approach. Now, how you take a hyper-customized approach that usually characterize, let's say, services companies or internal teams and make a startup, make a scalable approach out of it. So the idea of the Beyond Minds platform is exactly that, how to develop hyper-customized solution based on a modular technology, i.e. the platform, and solve problems one after another fast and robustly. So that brings me to the second aspect of the platform, which is production grade, right? So it's not enough only to be able to solve customized solution or deliver customized solution, you also want to be able to reach production, right? You don't want to stuck in the POC. So your the modularity and every capability within our platform is tested, validated again and again on different problems, on different data sets, which allow us basically to actually reach production and fast. So when my research team is building a new solution for a client, they are based their solutions on ready-made technology, on production-grade technology, on a well-tested and modular capability. And the third element is AI as a service. So what companies discover in the last few years is that, okay, building AI solution is one problem, but deploying them, operating them, maintaining them, that's a whole much, a whole more complex problem. I think the latest citation about that that I found is that something like on every $1 that is spent on development, there are $100 that are spent on productizing. And Beyond Minds is bringing to the market a $1 solution. So we're solving the entire end-to-end complete problem and deliver AI as a service from one side to the end, from A to Z, from build through deployment till operation and maintenance over time.
Just to pick up on a couple of points there, maybe for our listeners, we can sort of just, I guess, paint a picture of this word hyper-customized. So what exactly do you mean by this? What is your, I guess, what's your philosophy around that?
Yeah, so let's say, 10-20% of problems today that are relevant to AI can be solved by a repetitive product. And there are many amazing AI products and AI companies out there that solve a very specific vertical problem. And they repeat it from company to company, and it's amazing. Now, let's look at the rest of 80% of the problems. And these problems are characterized by specific needs. So companies have their own data, right? If you're looking at, I don't know, defect detection for manufacturing in production lines, or even fraud detection for finance. Each company has its own data, own customers, own internal process, right? And to take an off-the-shelf solution and just saying, okay, this will solve this problem, doesn't work in most of cases. And I think this is why it pushed most of the, let's say, global 2000 companies today develop their own center of excellence and a do-it-yourself mentality around AI, because they want their domain expertise and they want their own understanding of problem and their own customized solution. And Beyond Minds is trying to work with these companies that understand that their problems are specific and accelerate that process. How to solve these specific problems with a hyper-customized way. That means that we're solving the client's problem. It's a very customer-centric approach. We work with clients, we do workshop with clients, we understand the KPIs, we deep dive into the data and the integration constraints and the hardware that is going to be installed on and the infrastructure that is going to be used, etc., and deliver a solution exactly to that. And it enabled us to maximize the potential ROI and the speed of deployment, because you don't need to change the internal process. It's going to be tailor-made to the internal process and the data.
Yeah. And you mentioned a salient point there around solving customer problems. And that's what we're here to do, right? We're here to actually take those problems, put it into our machine, and out comes a solution. How does that play out on a day-in, day-out basis with you guys? I mean, are you guys sitting down and really partnering up with these firms and solving those big macro problems with the customization process that you go through?
So let's say roughly we have five steps within the process. Of course, you can dive into more granularity aspects, but every solution, every engagement with new clients starts with the problem definition, right? We need to understand together what are we going to solve and not what POC are we going to do, rather what this solution will look like, how it's going to look like in production. What are the production requirements, all the aspects of it, the data noisy level, the data stream, and how it's going to be monitored, and how what's going to be the business outcome out of that. So that's super critical, and I think it's well known today that every good AI project starts with a very good scoping and definition of the problem. Following that, which is a mutual process with clients, we, let's say, do a solution review and validation. We would like to make sure that the business understand what is the solution that they're going to get, and we fully understand what the business needs. And we usually do these two processes during the sales process, work together with our partners, do some workshops and deep dives and discovery, look at data, etc., and build a solution proposal. Following that, we are building the solution with our platform, deploying it as a service, where our main focus is cloud solutions, AI as a service based on cloud solution. But of course, not limited to that, because the environment and the area that we work in is a very on-premise driven, like finance and insurance. And the fifth part is maintaining this solution and operating them over time. That means improving on the models, new state of the art coming into our platform. We want to push that into clients, into customers, monitoring, and basically whatever needs to keep these models on the rails over time. I usually say that solving an AI problem is like shooting a moving target. The moving target is data. And if the data is moving, the models need to move as well. What people want today is, and what businesses want, is an evergreen IT, and specifically evergreen AI. And I love that term of evergreen AI, because you don't want to have another legacy platform or solution within 2 years, right? And the speed that AI is moving and the speed that data is moving is so fast that maintenance is a critical part of it. And how to keep these models effective and impact over the business over time is crucial within this process.
Some great points there. And to bring this to life for our listeners, can you walk through a simple case study of your tech in action?
Yeah, so let's take claim automation, for example. And for those of you, the listeners that don't aware of the insurance industry, it's a 300 and more years old industry with a lot of traditional way of thinking. But the way this industry is today adopting new technology is amazing. And alongside fintech, we have the insurtech startups that are booming, and many large insurers that are amazing in the way they use technology. Now, 40% of the cost for a normal insurer is around operation. Think about it, 40%, almost half of the money that they invest goes into operation. And that's lead to an amazing opportunity around AI adoption that can automate these operation processes. From all the operation processes in insurance, there are two that are very, very significant. The first one is how to do underwriting, right? You have a new policy that you want to issue for clients. What is the risk factor? How you underwrite this solution? The second one is claim processing. The claim processing is a very heavy process, composed of many different sub-processes, documents, the ingestion and decision-making, what should be rejected, what should be approved, etc. Now, AI can automate a significant part of these two solutions, of these two problems, how to automate claims and how to automate underwriting. Now, think about what that means for customer service, what that means for the customer experience. A client comes and he issues a claim and he gets an approval or a reject, but let's say in most cases an approval, within minutes instead of days, instead of weeks. That's a revolution. Let's make technology an amazing tool to automate that. And when we work with an insurance company, we need to understand what data they currently have and use to assess a claim. What is the risk that they want to take? Basically, where are the thresholds of confidence and risk that they are willing to take in terms of which claims should be automatically approved, which claims should be passed to a human for a second judgment, which brings me to a very important point in this area. And if you want, we can discover that more, is the human in the loop with AI. How to build a trustful machine, human-machine collaboration. And that's a key for success that we see in this industry.
As we speak about client solution delivery, maybe we can take a couple of steps back in your journey and just start unpacking how you guys went through the process of actually figuring out product market fit.
Right. So BeyondMind started as a bootstrap company. We started with very few people, several freelancers that work ad hoc per project. And with client after client that we started work with and delivering AI solutions. And during this short period of time where we worked bootstrap and grow the team and grow clients, we saw different aspects that repeat themselves. One of them I already mentioned is about the observation that problems are inherently specific and how we solve that. The second one was about the need for customization. And the third one was the deployment aspects. And maybe the most critical overall was about production-grade technology, how we make the development cycle and the delivery cycle much shorter, much scalable, right? How we move from 6 months into 8 weeks. That was the challenge. That's what we tried to solve for our scalability of the company to become a very efficient, SaaS-driven company that can work with great gross margins. And part of it was analyzing what the market actually needs and reaching this, you know, product market fit. And well, product market fit, it's not a well-defined thing, but let's assume that it's something like 5 clients that are using your product, they're paying for it, and they're happy with the results, right? Something roughly like that. And it's a very evolving process, right? You change while you build. You meet clients, you meet the requirements, you connect the dots between different clients in order to characterize the product, defining it. And, you know, although I think we are past that point of product market fit, I think that it's still changing all the time. We see new clients, we see new constraints, we see new needs. So being a startup at the early stages, even into the third year of the development, I would say that it's a lot about building the plane while it flies. And that's part of the journey, right? You want to have an amazing product and amazing offering and value proposition for clients. You need to be agile. You need to move and adapt to what clients need. And with the current phase, by the way, of technology, that's a must. And specifically with AI, by the way, given the fact that almost 3% of all papers written a year are about AI, that's a lot of ideas that comes into open source and research and papers. And we want all these cutting edge ideas, innovation into our platform and into solution that we bring to clients.
I was wondering, I mean, you talk about, you know, analyzing the market needs and also an evolving process. What exactly or specifically do you mean by that? Are you going out talking to clients? Do you have advisors on board that you're also sort of bouncing ideas off? You know, what exactly were you guys going through when you're in that phase?
So I think it's a combination between 3 teams within the company. It's first of all, the R&D that understand the technology, and of course, me as a CTO that understand AI deeply and research that. The second team is the product team that try to understand how the roadmap should look like, define the product, define what aspects and capabilities we should have within the platform, what we should put our emphasis on. And the third team is sales, because they are the front of the company. They meet clients all the time. They analyze the needs and the constraints and the requirements from different clients and different projects of different clients. And we need early on to understand, is this client with this problem and this needs is a good match with our platform? And if it's not a good match, let's hide that in the side and understand maybe we should develop that later on. Now, overall, you see a lot of clients, right? You ask many, many people lots of questions, understand what they need, what the market wants, how to sell that, what is the right business model, how to differentiate yourself from others, and build a very rich and interesting value proposition. And that should be translated into messaging, into the product roadmap, into development. I can give you an example. Let's take the production grade aspect. And when we look at the production grade aspect, we look at that, what are the technology barriers that companies report, that the literature reports, and how to handle them. For example, the first one that is very, very strong is noisy and extreme data scenarios. Okay, let's say extreme data scenarios is basically noisy data in production and limited amount of labeled data. How to work under this situation? Right. AI today is not all about collecting huge data sets, clean the environment, train a model and put that in production, because that doesn't work. In production, you have noisy data, you have complex scenarios, and you need to overcome that. So given this insight, we focused our development a lot about how to handle this noisy environment, how to solve complex data situation in production, in order to bridge the lab to production problem. And I don't know if you want another example, our business model, right? We see that companies don't eager to take high risks in huge amount of money of development and building of the solution. And they're frustrating from the huge investment that they're taking internally into AI. By the way, the number is around $50 million for a Fortune 1000 company around investment on AI. So that's let's say $50 billion overall in the Fortune 1000, and around $40 billion out of that go to a bad place, not to production, not to impact on the business. Now, we came out with our solo SaaS subscription model. That means that when we come to clients, we work only with monthly subscription for the service. No consultancy, no setup. Don't pay us to build your solution. Pay us to have your solution and get a service and maintenance and updates and deployment and operate this solution and give impact to your business. So you don't need to take high risk. It's a frictionless model. And that helped us a lot when we worked with clients. I think our business model is probably one of our most amazing, unique selling point that we came out with.
Frictionless engagement with clients must help in a number of different ways. I mean, can you tell me more about that?
Developing such a solution, let's say, if you go to a consultancy company or even IT outsourced company, and you want to accelerate your development, right? And it's time and material based, right? What is the team that you're going to need to develop a claim automation, right? You're going to need, I don't know, two researchers, PhDs that understand NLP and has good background in that. Maybe one, two or three other researcher, algorithm developer, ML engineers. So you already have a team of five within the research. And then you need probably one, two backend developers, maybe front-end developers for monitoring and different UI. you need to train the models. You need maybe a data engineer to collect all this data. And that's only for the development phase. So I don't know, we are around with and DevOps maybe. So we reach around 10 people that you probably need for 6 months. Right? That's easily $300,000 only on the team, right? And then you need to come out with cloud costs and training and data collection and labeling and deployment. And then you need maintenance, right? It's not only about developing, you need to deploy that solution and you need to maintain it over time and you need to update. So it's boom exponentially, very easily into $3 million development to actually bring a solution to production. And then, I don't know, $1 million a year to maintain it. And what is our business model? What we offer to clients? We offer them monthly subscription, right? Pay us each month for the solution over time. And, you know, of course, it depends on the complexity of the solution. But let's say an average project of $1 million a year, right? Pay us $100,000 a month, roughly, and get the solution, right? And until you get the solution in production, which for us is on average 8 weeks, you pay us 2 months, right? And it could be, depends on the on the complexity. It could be something between $50,000 and $200,000, depends on the complexity. And boom, you have a solution. And it's already in production. And you're starting to earn money on it or reduce costs. And you will get the ROI within 3-4 months from stage zero. While trying to do it yourself or with the services company, you will need to pay $3 million or invest $3 million before you even start seeing potential to ROI.
Such a cool, innovative way of looking at, you know, cracking that and also adding value and solving that problem on the client side, right?
Sure.
As you guys have grown, I know you have moved into different locations and you've grown your team in different parts of the world. I mean, how have you decided to move into New York and also move into London? What was the thinking behind that, maybe?
I'm not sure if we mentioned that, but Beyond Minds is an Israeli startup, right? Our headquarters is in Tel Aviv. And I think it's a classical mentality for Israeli startups, right? The go-to-market is not with the local economy. The Israeli economy is very small. Beyond Minds is working with Fortune, let's say global 2000 companies. There aren't much of this type of companies within Israel. Let's say a handful of companies that we can actually work with in Israel. And given that fact, the go-to-market is not in Israel, right? Very early on within the startup life cycle and development in the Israeli landscape, the go-to-market is usually into the US market, right? It's the largest one. It's closest in mentality to the Israeli one. And very early on, you, as an Israeli company, you try to bring US clients. Now, we took a decision very early on to open our London office because we are focusing on insurance, on finance, on manufacturing. The UK economy is the fifth largest in the world. Very much focused on finance, insurance, and manufacturing, and that gave us an amazing opportunity within these markets. And so, you know, very early on, we decided to open operation in London, and during the end of 2020, we started also our operation in the US, hiring SDRs in the US and salespeople, RSDs in the US. Our COO is based in New York. And this operation is our grow factor, right? This is how we're trying to bring more clients, increase the revenue, and achieve a great company. It's a significant investment that we have done lately around how to build sales operation efficiently, how to improve our abilities to bring new clients.
It's an interesting journey you guys have gone on from Israel into the UK and then into US. And you alluded to the fact that you're obviously building up the team and also the operational, you know, structures that will underpin and make certain you go forward in that growth trajectory. Can we dive into some of the detail around the structure that you've had to put in place that will allow your sort of your UK team and your US team and your Israeli team to work together, to actually, you know, collaborate together and, you know, move on that the roadmap that you guys obviously want to achieve?
Yeah, that's actually a super interesting question, which I think, you know, in general, it's an unsolved one. It's a very new one. And think about the fact that most of the operation and growth aspects that we have done in the last year after COVID-19 pandemic started. So everyone is anyway work remotely. Mm. So what is the difference if they're located in the US or they're located in Israel or in London? The main difference is time, right? The intersection between working hours that allow to collaborate. But everybody which is with Zoom or Teams, right? We're using internal tools for communication and collaborate together. Interestingly, also sales meetings are remotely. Now, by the way, I would even say that the COVID-19 situation is probably the most significant challenge for startups. It brings two very strong and heavily challenges. The first one is how you do enterprise sale under this situation without meet clients, right? How you close the very significant deal that is within the core operation of a large organization without actually meeting people face to face, how you build trust with clients, how you demonstrate and visualize, how you drink coffee together. So that's a super significant challenge that I see today, right? And, you know, it brings also some advantages because I can have a meeting with clients in India in the morning and on the same day meet someone in California without moving from my desk. But under this situation, you need so many meetings and diving deep into this virtual cycle, and it's not simple. And the second challenge that COVID brought is about sticking people together, right? How you motivate people. And unlike many research problems, there is no book that have been written about that. How to work, how to build a team, how to grow a team when everyone is remote, right? You're trying to build a new company, a new vision, a new idea, hiring lots of people. And we grew our team very significantly in the last two quarters. And you need to stick people together. You need to motivate them. You need to explain them about what we do, what we are going to do, how that company is going to grow, how to work together. Extremely challenging, and it's probably one of the most open questions in the today landscape of startups that I see.
If you're happy to, I mean, how you guys are looking at just solving that let's call it collaboration issue, what are you putting in place to at least, you know, test and make certain that your teams and your team as it grows are sticking together and are sort of achieving what you guys set out to achieve?
The most important aspect is communication. How you communicate better, right? Mm. And more efficient, and how you replace, standing for a few minutes in the coffee area and, you know, just have a small talk and exchange ideas, how you replace working together and how you replace that individual domain. And communication is a challenging tool, right? Mm. It's a challenging aspect today. So one-to-one meetings is essential. Lots of management, alignment, email exchanges, instant messaging communication, lots of attention to employees, team meetings. So I think our calendars are full of meetings, which, let's say, reduce the efficiency a little bit because you need to invest a lot of time in meetings. But on the other hand, it's improving the alignments, improve the communication. And, you know, I wouldn't say that we have solved it completely, but we're working on it. So it's a lot of investigation over what is the right process, right? How we communicated more efficiently, how two people that work together look each other in the eyes through the screen and tell each other, I need this from you in order to succeed, right? How you open up remotely, right? How do you reduce barriers of this communication and improve the internal process, right? Around different areas. Can give you one small example for that. For example, in hiring, right? How you do efficient hiring over Zoom meetings and collect feedback. So you can use technology for that, right? To collaborate better within your team about potential candidates and exchange ideas and create together. And there are great tools to do that, for example. So that's what we're trying to do across the company, across different areas. In R&D and product and roadmaps and documents and wiki, etc.
Communication, collaboration, it's a must. And it's we have to overdo it right now because, you know, people are, and everyone's in a situation where, you know, it's not always easy to get stuff done. So that constant partnership, if you want, helps push not only your company forward, but also, you know, importantly, push and help your employees go along that journey, right?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
As you're going through this process and as you're scaling, you know, Beyond Minds, what has been your philosophy or what is your philosophy around growing your business?
I think speed is a critical aspect for us. We're trying to move fast, right? The AI landscape is very crowded. There are many, many companies doing many different amazing things. Many companies that are working with enterprises to accelerate AI adoption, etc. And we build our own unique selling points and differentiators. And we want to keep this unique and we want to move fast and bring more clients and develop our product fast and have happy clients over time. So I think this journey is about growing up the team, improving our marketing, improving our sales, improving the product, right? Bringing more clients, raising more money. And that's, a repeat cycle. How you improve all the time, move fast as you can to keep your edge and competitive edge and uniqueness, right? I think there is this very classic mentality, not sure about the exact quote, but something like, if you're going to the product, if you're going to the market when your product is amazing, it's probably too late. Right, you need to go to market when your product is rough, as fast as you can. MVP mentality and achieve this, bring these early customers that will help you grow, etc. I think speed, fail fast is another important philosophy that I believe in. I think it's a lot of trial and error out there. If you're trying thing, you want to fail fast, understand that it's wrong and move, right? It's, by the way, same as in research in general. You have hypothesis and you want to try it out. And if it's not the right one, you want to change as fast as you want. And maybe it brings me to the third important aspect is measuring your across the board in marketing, in leads, in sales process. What worked, what didn't, why, lots of debriefing. I highly believe in debriefing mentality. And definitely debriefing using data, right? That's a key for improvement and a key for fast and efficient growth.
Yeah, extremely valuable points that you raised. And as you guys are moving forward, what questions are you asking yourselves? And what factors are you taking into consideration as you sort of continue along that growth trajectory?
So I think one of the interesting factors that we are facing today is how to combine large traction and working and activity with clients versus how you continue improving and do amazing research to your product, right? How you keep improving your product while keep bringing more and more clients and deliver more and more solutions. So that's, I think, one interesting aspect, right? How to grow your team and how to spend basically the money and the investment correctly, how to plan your budget, where do you need to hire more people to, what is the, you know, our run rate till we need to raise more money, and how, what we want to achieve till that point, right? How you get the right numbers, the right amount of clients, the product maturity to keep improving and keep growing. So I think there are many different aspects of that. And these grow pains are significant to face, right? For example, in the last quarter, we registered a US company. Now we have a UK company, a US company, and an Israeli company. So it's raised up some legal stuff and compliance stuff and audit. You know, there are many, many different aspects to growing up a company and how you do that correctly, right? Do you invest significantly to continue your growth, or do you slow down a little bit to improve the fundamentals? What is the right balance, etc.?
Yeah, and listen, I mean, obviously part of this process is as an entrepreneur and, you know, a senior thought leader is learning, and we always continuously have to learn. And from that point of view, I was wondering if you've read in the past or are reading a book that you thought our listeners might enjoy.
I'm actually reading these days, The Measure What Matters by John Dwyer, about OKRs and some very simple ideas that helped Google be Google. And I think it's a very famous book, and it's a lot about how to measure people, how to measure what you do, how to measure yourself, how to improve from quarter to quarter, how to invest the right amount of time and effort in internal debriefing and internal improvement, how to set objectives, how to break that down into key results. And I highly recommend it.
Cool. And before we log off and end our podcast today, how can people get in touch with you guys at Beyond Minds?
Okay, so they can contact me over email or contact us in the website or LinkedIn, and you can visit us at beyondminds.ai or visit my personal LinkedIn, Roy Mehrez, with CH.
It's been absolutely amazing to have you on the show, Rory. And, you know, I've really enjoyed the conversation. So, and to be honest with you, I've taken away a load of information just on how to implement AI into organizations and businesses. So, you know, thanks for coming on, and hopefully at some point in time we can get you back on the show and do something else together.
Yeah, thank you very much, Richard. It was amazing talking to you and discussing, and thank you for hosting me, and looking forward to the second episode.
That sounds good. Okay. We'll speak soon.
Thank you very much.